Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts, underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Thanks, Marshall, and welcome to Off Script. Summer theater in these parts, which include the Hudson Valley and the Berkshires, is a very competitive scene. There's loads of theater companies, some older than others. Right here in Sharon, from where Robin Hood broadcasts, is Sharon Playhouse, which many listeners might not know is realizing its 59th season. Credit to that tradition and putting behind let's just say, a very peculiar season last summer, Sharon Playhouse is forging ahead with a new management and artistic team. Joining me today are Robert Levenstein, Sharon Playhouse's new managing director, and Alan Wager, its new artistic director, to talk about the challenges of summer theater and the new season they've got lined up for Sharon Playhouse. Welcome, Robert, and welcome, Alan.
Thanks, Dan.
And welcome to Sharon. And welcome to Sharon.
Thank you. It's a great town.
And it's
beautiful.
And it's snowy out.
And it is snowy.
Well, it's interesting that you say it's a great town. It's interesting you say it's snowing out because you come here from
originally from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles to Sharon. That's quite
Way of New York for the last 20 years.
By 20 years in New York, but still, you know. It's snowing out there.
It's snowing.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But luckily it happened today because tomorrow we have our auditions. So we're happy that it happened today and not tomorrow.
We start our audition season tomorrow. Right. Gangbusters.
Good, good, good. So I'm looking at your bios, and they're full of all kinds of theater credits. Broadway, off-Broadway, regional and summer theater, national tours too. And Alan, you've got in your bio, although you don't look it, over 30 years professionally in the biz.
Dan, did you just call me old?
No, I said you don't look.
Doesn't look.
You don't look like you've got 30 years in the biz. And Robert, I'm looking at you. And let's say you've got 20.
That's good. So we'll leave it at that. That's
okay,
good.
Okay, so you guys bring nearly half a century, not to make you feel old.
As long as the Playhouse has been around.
Of showbiz experience to Sharon. So having done all the stuff that you've done with all this experience, how did you find your way here?
Well, it is a really sort of a roundabout situation. We have another company. We have our own production company out of New York. It's called 22Q Entertainment. That we formed after Robert left the Algonquin Playhouse in Maine. Decided to go out on our own. Through that, we were hired by Shakespeare on the Sound in Rowayton, here in Connecticut as well. We were there for how many years, Robert?
About 5 years.
We're about 5 years. And so we were trying to change things up and help out and, you know, do production.
Build the company.
Build the company up, because they had been around for quite a while and they were having some issues. And so we were happy to join them, having a great time. One of the things we did was bring in some new staff. So we brought in a new lighting designer that I had worked with prior in White Plains. And his name is Jamie Roderick, and he's terrific. He came to us one day and said, oh, by the way, you know, my mother, his mother is Sarah Combs, is on the board of Sharon Playhouse, and she is actually one of the originators of TriArts, along with her ex-husband, Ray Roderick. So he said, I'm recommending you to her because they're looking for some new people they're looking for new people. And we're like, oh, great. All right, sure. And Robert got a phone call. I was out of town doing a show, actually, and Robert got a phone call.
So we were in L.A., and Sarah called us, and we spent about an hour with her on the phone just talking about the Playhouse in general and what they wanted to do and where they wanted to take it. So we're like, okay. So it was a great interview with her, and then we came back to New York, and we met with Emily Sol and Bobby Olson in New York City with Sarah, and again, spent another hour just talking about everything. And they vetted us heavily because they wanted to make sure we were going to be the right fit for this Playhouse this year.
Of what they were looking for. I actually was out of town, like I had mentioned, doing a show in Wyoming. And so Robert came up here by himself and I guess got the third degree from everybody, which was wonderful. And then
we applaud them.
I got back via California, got back. Next day, jumped on a train to get up here. And we all met with the board at Bobby's house. And they all sat there with their arms crossed, stared at me and let it fly. And it was great.
It was great. We applaud them for vetting so heavily this year.
They even checked references that we didn't give them.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So thank you, Jamie Roderick and Sarah Combs.
Yeah.
For the recommendation.
Good. So you mentioned Algonquin Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more beloved summer stock or summer theaters in New England. Do you think there are summer audiences for what you've done and built in Gonquid? Have the same kind of traction here in Sharon?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Most, go ahead.
No.
Summer theater
Describe
is about...
Describe first for people who might not know what the kind of fair is at the Algonquin and how that might relate to the season now.
Traditionally, the Algonquin Playhouse had been around since the 20s. Mm-hmm. People like Betty Davis got their foot wet there in taking classes and such. So it has a very rich history. Over the years, it has had a variety of different management teams, as most theaters do. It was on a tour circuit along with the Cape Playhouse and things like that. Currently, it is mostly producing musicals, big, large-scale, splashy, new work musicals, but pretty much heavily into the musical field. And that's what those audiences want. And we discovered that. Robert had been there for almost 10 years or so. We saw the change. Granted, that's a resort town, whereas this area of Sharon isn't quite as resorty. But it's that whole thing of looking at that model and then other regional theaters and summer theaters that I've worked out through the years.
Right.
What do the people want where you are?
But in one of its recent reincarnations, Sharon Playhouse did try to plumb the summer musical kind of niche. So is that what you're going to be bringing back?
Actually, it is.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're looking at the books of what has been done in the past with past seasons, what sold the best, and actually another thing that we've done is we've gone around, we don't live here. We live in New York, but we come up quite often. And so we have already been to Town Hall more than once. We have been to the Historical Society. We go into the shops. We have been into the restaurants. We're chatting people up
right.
to see, without having to send out something official, what do you want?
Right. But before we talk about the season, the new season that you put together for Sharon Playhouse, you mentioned something about the interesting history that the Algonquin Playhouse has. And you're discovering with new eyes, fresh vision, forest from the trees, all that interesting historical aspects of Sharon Playhouse that people might not know about. What is the one or two items that you've discovered that said, wow, there's a real history here too?
Well, one of my favorite stories, reading a New York Times article from 1995, was that the Jujansum Theater and the Phantom of the Opera folks fell in love with the Sharon community. They came up here and they saw the theater where it was in 1995. And they went back to New York City. They talked to the Jujansums. And the seats that are actually in the Sharon Playhouse at this time are from the actual Virginia Theater.
Currently the August Wilson.
On Broadway. So we thought that was fascinating, that the actual seats in the theater now
are
from a Broadway house.
Mm-hmm. And
that I don't think the community period actually realizes that the blue seats in the theater are from them.
So Robert has been spending a lot of time, as well as myself, at the Historical Society, figuring out that, oh my goodness, there is such a rich history. This theater originally, all the way back to 1930, and then in its current place of the playhouse that's there with the 350 or so seats, is from 1955.
1955. It was built in 1955.
So there is this immense history, and besides TriArts being there and self-producing, and there was the Light Opera Society, mm-hmm. And who knew? There's no Wikipedia page. There's no information. So
there's about to be a Wikipedia
there's
page.
About to be.
There's about to be.
See how I did that?
Justin Phillips knew what he was doing way back in the day when he put this together.
I was going to hope someone was going to mention Justin Phillips.
Oh, yes.
In case you've just joined us, the program is Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. And my guests today are Robert Levenstein, the new managing director of the new Sharon Playhouse, and Alan Wager, the new artistic director of the new season coming up at Sharon Playhouse. Judson Phillips. Yeah, he was quite a local character.
He was a very local character.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about him, because there's a lot, wrote a lot of books, and anyway.
Well, yes, he had a pseudonym for writing his books. It wasn't under Judson Phillips, and I have to still go back and do more research on him. I haven't delved too much into him. I know that in 1954, he really helped put the building together for the Sharon Playhouse. His wife performed in shows prior to that in the theater. So I'll get back to you more on Judson, unless you know more, but I haven't delved into that world yet.
Don't want to say anything wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, drop some more names for us, if you can, of major theater icons that came to the Sharon Playhouse in the 50s and the 60s that you've come across. Irene Wirth was here back in.
Okay, see, I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm making notes because you might know a little more than I do at this point. So
the Wikipedia page, hey, anywhere we can get information, like I said, we've been to the library, we've looked at pictures.
Well,
we have files at the theater that have just been sitting there. And then the Historical Society has been very helpful. They had things we didn't have.
Let's put a call out right now. Okay,
right.
For people who have a piece of the oral history of the Sharon Playhouse,
yeah.
Where do they call? Who do they ask for?
They can call the Sharon Playhouse at 860-364-7469,
okay.
Extension 103.
Okay.
And they can leave me a message there, or they can email at managing.
And that's Robert speaking right
that's
now.
That's me. At managing@SharonPlayhouse.org. If you have any historical information, find me there.
Okay.
Pictures, articles, anything we can post onto our website and or the Wikipedia page once it's finished.
I've got a few things I can contribute to.
Oh, good, thank you.
As Marshall mentioned, the show is underwritten by Johnny Cake Books, which is owned by the host here over in Salisbury, Connecticut, and we have a lot of local ephemera. And whenever I come across old Sharon Playhouse programs from the 50s and the 60s, I have. So I'll get.
Great, thank you. There's a great photographer.
I'll contribute some too.
There's a photographer, Fran Kelsey, who took so many pictures during the 50s, 60s. That we have some at the theater,
and we're finding
more and more.
Every time we open a
great.
Box or go in a filing cabinet, we find more things.
Make a great
There was a really wonderful picture hanging in the ladies' room that we were cleaning up and looking around, and we're like, oh, this needs to go somewhere much more interesting.
So what we're really talking about is how this theater can really not only identify with but reflect its community roots,
exactly.
And also continue to relate and develop with the community.
And that is one of our major things.
So let's talk about the season that you've put together and how does that reflect for two guys who are from Los Angeles, let's say that, put that on the table, what the community wants.
Well, from what we have discovered, and again, looking to the past, looking to the future, and talking to the folks here around town, is what do you want? They want musicals. They want feel-good shows. They want things they've heard of. They want to go to the theater.
They don't want Carol Churchill dystopic fantasies.
Let's move on. Maybe as an added bonus, they would like something like that. And we are all about that. We have the two spaces at the Sharon Playhouse. One thing I noticed last year is that only two of the productions were done on the main stage. When we came in, I said to the board, just the question you asked, what are you going to do? And it's like, well, everything's going on the main stage. We have this wonderful theater. Why aren't we using it? So we're going to...
If there ever was a space that screams summer stock or summer
it is so rustic and fun and charming. So that's the thing. So when we were coming up with the season, we wanted to do this season of hits. Take it back, a few steps back, to go a few steps forward. We wanted to take it back to... what do the people want to see? And so, therefore, I think your audience is going to know pretty much every title we have. We're going to have extra special events and other things that will be in the box space and even on the main stage.
Okay, so let's get right to it. What's your opening production?
Our opening show is Anything Goes.
Good. Cold we know that.
Of course
everybody
you do.
Knows
everybody
that.
Knows that. Spectacular tap dancing.
Songs everybody knows along with.
We wanted a gangbuster opening to the season. So when that first curtain opens up and you see the set
and
that we're
going to
bring in, and there's the boat, it's going to be spectacular.
It's going to be great, and the people coming in.
Now you're speaking
stage.
As the director. Of
I am.
Is that
Actually,
right?
Actually, I am also the director of that.
Ellen is going to be directing that. Let's get that out there. Okay.
One of our favorite shows. The next...
Now, have you started casting for that?
We literally start casting tomorrow.
Okay.
We will do 2 days up here in Sharon. We do 3 days in New York City. Then we'll do two more days here in Sharon again on the 10th and 11th.
Okay,
and
so
everybody should come out and audition on the 10th and 11th.
Well, the formula in the past has been to get a couple of headliners who are equity and might even have some kind of marquee kind of value, and then to fill it in with very able and semi-professional, professional local people. Is that going to be the same formula?
That is
Dan,
gonna be.
You are reading our minds.
Right.
That's another thing we want to take it back to. We have places in pretty much almost every show for locals, not just ensemble chorus people standing there holding a flag, but I have principal roles that I would love to be able to cast local. And in this show, Anything Goes, and in our third show, which is Barefoot in the Park. Oh, I skipped the second show. but that's idea of we want the locals in the show because this is what the locals want as well. And if I can do that, we can do that, put them in the shows, it's beneficial for everyone.
Let's talk about the music for a minute, because sure. besides recruiting and auditioning and casting from local professionals, actors, mm-hmm. what about local musicians? That's if you're doing musicals, that's almost as important.
Well, our board member, Sarah,
sing the songs. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Combs, our board member, her husband, Rich Comley, is our contractor, and he only will hire local people.
They're all local.
From New York and Connecticut area. They're all going to be local.
They're all from the region. Mm-hmm. And
there's so much talent. There's so much talent up here. We're like, why would we go anywhere else?
And some of our shows have very specific musical needs.
You're talking about musicians.
The musicians. Okay. Yeah, the band. Right. Yeah.
Orchestra band, however you want to say it. And our final show has very specific musical needs. We'll get to that in a second. He was able to find who we needed. Mm-hmm. And local. Don't have to bring them in from New York. Don't have to bring them in from, you know, anywhere far. They're all local-ish musicians.
Okay. Second up on the main stage.
Second up is Elvis Presley's music for All Shook Up.
Ah.
All Shook Up.
Now, this is a youth production, right?
It is a youth production, which is basically high school to early college, up to 19 years old and such. All the teens, 13 to 19.
And those auditions are tomorrow. So if we have young listeners in high school and college, those auditions are tomorrow, February 3rd, from starting at 10 a.m.
At the Playhouse.
At the Playhouse. Sure.
And hey, parents, if you're listening, tell your kids.
Okay, so you've got Anything Goes. They're going to take a couple of performances mm-hmm. on the main stage to do the Elvis musical.
Actually, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Last year, we discovered that the youth show, which was Footloose, only ran 1 week. It did very well, sold out, and we're like, well, why didn't it do two? So
we're doing 2 weeks.
Okay, and then you go to a comedy, I guess.
And there we are. We did want to honor the tradition of doing plays, but we also wanted to do, we definitely wanted to do a comedy, so we were actually looking at a variety of titles. We decided, what better than Neil Simon, I didn't want to do any of the contemporary ones. I didn't feel that was right. Love Bear from the Park. I have always loved Bear from the
Park.
Most
people don't know that Neil Simon wrote Bear from the Park.
And that's another thing. They know the title.
Odd Couple and, you know, the Brighton Beach Memoirs and
exactly. And they'll know the movie. They'll remember the movie fondly.
Jane Fonda, Robert Redford.
And Mildred Natwick. And, you know, they're just a wonderful. Charles Boyer. I mean, just a wonderful cast in the film. So we decided on that. And then we found out something very interesting.
Yeah, Robert, you mentioned that.
Yeah, through the Historical Society, going through all the old playbills, it turns out that 50 years to the day of when we're doing Bear from the Park, it had actually been performed on the stage. So it's its 50th anniversary back
July
here.
27 is your opening night for Bear from the Park.
Right? It's August 6th through 8th is when it played originally, okay. So we'll still be in the midst of it.
Right. But okay, it's that 50-year anniversary of at the Sharon Playhouse.
That's great.
And so, hey, how fortuitous for us.
It's perfect timing. So it was like, it was meant to be.
Right.
How many characters in that?
There's six.
So that's a nice production to do. It's contained. You don't have a lot of characters on the stage.
Right. Single set.
Contain your costs.
Pretty much single set.
Good.
But it's also an amusing play. There's a couple roles for locals, as you mentioned. I got a couple of those roles for locals. And then we are closing the season on the main stage with Always Patsy Cline, which is a perennial favorite. All the songs of Patsy Cline. It is actually a true story of a housewife from Houston who befriended Patsy Cline a couple years before her death, mm-hmm. and their correspondences back and forth all through the rest of Patsy's life. And Patsy always signed her letters to this woman, Louise, always Patsy Cline.
So the musical is called
Always Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm. Now, this has been a perennial at the Algonquin Playhouse for several seasons now.
We did it there in 2003, and then we did it again in 2000. We did it a couple times there.
Okay.
And then Robert and I also have a history with it. We have produced the show in North Hollywood. Back then, it was starring Sally Struthers as the housewife. Mm-hmm. It's actually a favorite show of ours. So when we were, you know, tasked with putting together a season, we also, in our heads, were large musical, small musical, medium-sized play, you know, as one does as a producer.
So is it a musical two-hander?
It's a musical two-hander.
So that's another facile thing to put on stage because you contain your costs.
With a five-person live band on stage.
Right. Yeah.
There was a very successful production of the Jukebox musical about the Presley recording session.
Million Dollar Quartet.
Million Dollar Quartet, the Berkshire Theater Group did last summer with five players on stage?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, or six. And it was a huge success. Right. So I think you're onto something.
And through
there.
Rich Comley, we were able to find a steel player, a local steel player.
Great.
A steel guitar
and
player.
That's so that the was thing like. Is you can't do always pass a client without a steel, good, right, you know, right. steel player. And right. he was like, oh, I got one. Right. Just right. let me know the dates.
Right. And everybody yeah. knows the Patsy Cline.
Oh, the catalog. It's, you know, I Fall to Pieces.
Crazy.
You
know, it's just.
She's Got You.
It's beautiful music.
Anytime we've. Again, mentioned that in town to people, they have said, oh my God, I love that. And right. we're like, good, we hope you do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a great piece. And one thing we also have to factor in is housing and all the costs affected with the shows. So we have a couple big shows, and then we, through the season, we trickle down into smaller, because housing, if we bring in people from out of town, it is an issue for the Playhouse. Right. So we always have to find a way to save.
And anything goes is going to, definitely, we are going to be housing people.
Right. Yeah, how large is your cast for that?
I think, what did we come up
like
with?
23?
That's 23, that's 25, cast. Something like that.
That's right.
A
it's a lot.
It's a lot, but again, I'm hoping, praying, that many will be local. I have the place for, again, principals and ensemble right. for local. Bring in a couple ringery people, like you had mentioned, singer-dancer, ensemble-y kind right. of people. And then we are looking at a few headliners in a few choice roles.
And what size band or orchestra?
That's going to be seven.
Seven?
Seven musicians.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a musical director, a second keyboard, and then five to six local musicians in that one.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll bring in our own musical director.
So you've got three family two very musicals and one comedy on the main stage, right. plus a youth production.
Plus a youth production. And plus, there's
two.
More.
There's two youth
yes,
productions.
I know. Two, and well, you've got a youth production, then children's.
Oh, production. That children's theater. Yes.
Okay. Right. So now, talk about the children's theater too, that's been a major aspect of Sharon Playhouse.
We had heard that, and then the last few years we had been told that, oh yeah, we have children's theater. We're like, oh well, how does that work? Oh well, they rehearse over there at this school, and then they perform over there at that school. And we're like, then how is it a Sharon Playhouse production? So that we have made an effort to bring children's theater back to the Playhouse. They will rehearse at the Playhouse. They will perform on the main stage on a modified set of whatever show happens sure. to be going on at that time. We have two different titles that we're working with for two different age groups. We're doing 101 Dalmatians Junior?
Kids.
Oh, I never
101 Dalmatians
right.
Kids.
Kids. And then for the younger children, and then for the next stage up, we are doing Willy Wonka Junior. See, that one's junior.
That's junior.
Yeah, Willy Wonka is not necessarily, I mean, it can be done as a kid's
right.
production, but it's pretty dark.
Well,
tough
but
if
this
you
version
really scratch
has,
deep.
True,
on that one.
But this version has been written to be kid friendly yeah. and family friendly.
Right.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want their child to be an Oompa Loompa on a stage?
I mean,
like, it's perfect.
And the younger ones, come on, they're all going to be Dalmatians.
Right.
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
So we're doing that. In addition, we do have this other Bach Gallery that we have open dates in there that we are looking to bring in. A variety of different things.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying not to oversaturate, but it won't compete with the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people who do want, oh my goodness, they're doing all these musical comedies and such. How about something a little more interesting or something more adult? I can't tell you what they are, but we do have some ideas and are in negotiations to bring in some other things. So it's not just the four main stage right. and the children's. There's going to be other things as well. Plus, we're bringing back the patio cabarets that have been so well received in the past, that basically during Anything Goes and All Shook Up on Friday and Saturday evenings after the show, cast members will be out on our lovely patio bar singing some show tunes, singing some standards. We will invite locals if they want to do that as well. Just let us know a little ahead of time so we can make sure we're ready for you. And the party continues after the show. Because we have a lovely full bar. It's a lovely space. It's out there during the summer. It's covered. And we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, we just want to keep the entertainment going.
Yep. Household names, marquee value. We're going to see any stars come up to Sharon for either Anything Goes or Patsy Cline?
Oh, yes. We are working on
it. Or Biffert
and
the Park.
Or Biffert and the Park. We're actually working on all of that. Nothing is in... You know, stone, so I can't mention, but
it's
yes.
still January, so it's,
and it is still January.
But offers
no, it's
have,
February now.
That's true. But offers have started going out, so we'll see where we go. But
right.
our intent is to have marquee value names,
and then hopefully you
the
can
stage.
Announce that once we get some names.
Well, then Marshall, too, yeah,
absolutely, exactly. absolutely, yeah.
But yes, definitely, that is one of the things because that for the people who may be on the fence about any of these titles, do I want to go see that? Oh, it sounds okay, but then you hear a name that you may know from television or from theater and go, oh. All right, that tipped the balance. So why not?
Right. Okay, so let's summarize the season again, please? Robert? Ellen? Robert, we haven't heard that much from you.
Good reason for that. So our opening show is Anything Goes.
Cole Porter's
Anything Goes. Our second show is our youth production of All Shook Up. The third production is Barefoot in the Park.
Neil Simon.
And the fourth production to close our season is Always Patsy Cline.
Okay. And upcoming auditions, once again?
Tomorrow, which is Saturday, and then Sunday as well, we have the All Shook Up auditions. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week in New York City will be season auditions. And then here in Sharon, the 10th and 11th, please, locals, come on out. I got jobs for you. And those here at the Bach Gallery at the Sharon Playhouse.
And if anyone has any item of Sharon Playhouse historical or anecdotal interest, they can contact
Robert. You can contact me at the Sharon Playhouse at 860-364-7469, extension 103, or you can email me directly at managing@sharonplayhouse.org.
And all the audition information for all auditions are on the website as well, sharonplayhouse.org.
Okay, guys. And one more thing, Robert.
Can we plug one more thing? In the off-season, we are actually using the Bach Gallery for some entertainment. So really quickly, on February 24th, we have a 1950s prom happening at the Bach Gallery.
Check the website.
From 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Check the website for more details.
Okay. Lots of energy, lots of new information, lots of great new ideas. The guys on site to make it all happen at the new Sharon Playhouse for its 2018 season are Robert Levenstein. Thank you very much for being here. And artistic director and director of two of the programs coming up, Alan Wager.
Thanks, Dan.
This the program has been Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear on this program and the others on Robin Hood Radio, remember, we're listening supported. Please go to robinhoodradio.com. Go to the Donate or Support tab, I think, and express your appreciation. I would appreciate that. Again, underwritten by Johnny Cake Books at Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury. Like a dear departed friend of mine used to say all the time to me, till the next time, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.